morning, Bethel. How you doing?
Good. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that I'm here. Last week, I was on deck just in case Chris Shadowin's baby came, and I was ready just to jump up here, push him out of the way, tell him to go have that baby. But he's tuning in live today through Ustream. So hi, Chris. Hi, Shepherd. Excited to be with you guys over video. So today, we're going to talk about fighting, as you can tell. And I'm going to start off and tell you a little bit of a story about how my wife and I met. We didn't have a fight in how we met. But see, Ashley and I have been married for 10 years now. And we, thank you. I got a clap for that. I've been married long enough that I get a clap for that since it's double digits. We met at Lee University and in the recreation center. See, she worked at the rec center. She worked behind the desk, and sometimes she'd also be teaching a group exercise class or something like that. And whenever she'd be there, I'd kind of linger, you know, make eye contact, and I was like, hey, maybe she could like me. So it started off learning her name, right? And then after that, we became friends on Facebook. Now, this is when Facebook was just for college students, and actually, I liked it better then. So we started off there, and then we had a conversation. I was like, hey, you want to maybe hang out and do something? We played racquetball our first date. We played racquetball. And then after we had played racquetball, we were hanging out afterwards at the rec center. And that is when I got one of my most prized possessions. This here is Ashley's phone number. This is the phone number that I got that after that first date. It's on a post-it note from behind the desk at the rec center. She gave it that quick. I did okay playing racquetball, I guess. Now, yes, it is framed. It's been framed ever since we got married. So when we were getting to know each other, just in the first stages, I was like, okay, well, I'd like to know her a little bit more. And I was wanting that phone number. I was wanting the phone number because I wanted that next level of connection. But you know what? Just because I got the phone number didn't mean all the work was done. It didn't mean that I was done then. I was like, okay, so we spent time together. All right, I've got the phone number. I've got this. Okay, everything should be good from here on out. It doesn't necessarily mean that. How many of you know that to continue to progress in something, to continue to move forward, sometimes it takes a fight? Sometimes it takes effort. We have to fight to grow in things, don't we? We have to push. We have to try. We have to put energy into it, or else things aren't going to continue to grow. If I wouldn't have continued to put effort in the relationship the same way I was wondering, okay, maybe we can spend time together. Maybe I can get the phone number. Maybe we can spend a little bit more time together. You know what? Eventually, I convinced her to marry me. But if I would have stopped with the effort just because I felt like I had made some kind of milestone, just because I made some kind of an event, some stage, things wouldn't have continued to progress. Today, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Now, this is where the Apostle Paul is talking to the Ephesian church. He's talking to them and saying, okay, you're believers now, but in order for you to move forward in this relationship, there's some things that you need to do and some things that you do not need to do. And we're going to talk about that today. If you would, stand with me as we get into God's word together. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. There's a Bible in the seat back in front of you. It'll be up on the screen. You can also follow along in YouVersion in that app. It also has some of my notes and things that go along with it. Now, we're going to work through this text, and I'm going to stop a couple times and explain some things, and then we'll focus in on some of the last verses of this section. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant sacrifice, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. So here we see how Paul is talking to them and saying, you already need to be separating yourself from some things that maybe you used to do and some things that some other people do, okay? Pick up on this theme that he's talking about here. He's setting up a contrast of things that we're supposed to do and things that we're not supposed to do. Got me? Okay. It's not even proper for these things to be named among you. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. No dirty jokes. He's saying it matters how you talk. Pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. If you're identifying as a Christian, it matters what you say. You can't say just anything you want and hang out with anybody at the water cooler. Do people still have water coolers? You can't just go along and laugh at any joke or anything that anybody says. That's what he's saying here, okay? Which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Okay? Now, in verse 6, some of your Bibles might have a heading that it switches a little bit here and talking about the light and the darkness, okay? Pick up on that contrast as we go through it, starting in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Don't join yourself with these things. Don't become partners with them. There's this separation that we're talking about, some things that you can do and some things that you cannot do. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Saying that before you were a Christian, you were in darkness. Now you're a light in the world, so you're supposed to behave differently, and you're not associating and doing those same things that they do, those things that you used to do. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. So don't even speak of it, okay? And don't even have things be named among you, as we saw in verse 3. Okay? So far that we're not even talking about it, we're not associating with it. Are you with me? I'm trying to create this distance as we're talking about it. There's some things that we do and some things that we don't do, and it matters. Okay? So, for it is shameful to even speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine in you. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, there's things that you call us to do and there's things that you tell us to avoid. Sometimes we can get it confused, Lord, and thinking that because we're under grace and you give us mercy that our behavior doesn't matter, but that's not true. God, I ask that you would help us to have such a love and such a conviction of who we are in you and such a passion for you, God, that those things that aren't of you just get pushed to the side and we don't associate with them anymore. Lord, I ask that you would give us a passion for your word and a passion for who you are. Teach us today about you through your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. While thinking about this message and thinking about what does it mean to fight, we're supposed to be a peaceful people, right? Christians. The love of God, all loving and everything like that. But what does it mean to fight? What does it mean for a church to identify as fighters? And something that I've thought about several times is how Jane Becker, our kids ministry director, something that she says is, I think she got it from somebody else, is the church is a battleship, not a cruise ship. And that's the truth. It's a battleship, not a cruise ship. We don't join the church. We don't become members of the church. We're not Christians just so we can cruise along. So we can say, you know what? I've got the whole salvation thing figured out. I'm good with the big guy upstairs. I think I'm going to heaven. Put my feet up. It's not what it is. We don't see that anywhere in Scripture. We don't see where people are just assuming that because they have a relationship with God through Jesus, that everything is fine and there's nothing else that they need to do. But they're supposed to be passionate about spreading the gospel, passionate about what God is doing in their life and in the life of other people around them. We're supposed to be passionate about fighting. We're built to fight. We're built to take new territory, to go new places, to do things for God. That's what we're designed to do. We're going to start off in verse 15 and go through this a little bit more. Verse 15, still in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. I want to tell you, we're in a fight. We're in a fight. We're in the midst of a fight right now. You, me, we're in a fight. But here's the thing about being in a fight. If you don't know that you're in a fight, you don't have much chance of winning, do you? You're just getting hit, and things are happening, and problems are happening, and you don't do anything to defend yourself. You don't do anything to move forward. Think about that. Being in a fight with somebody, and you don't even know it, and you just keep on getting hit. Not acting like you're in a fight. Not putting your hands up. Not paying attention. Not thinking about what you need to do to move forward. You're just getting beat and wondering why. But the thing is, we're in a fight. Knowing that we're in it is an important step. See, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully. Pay attention to what it is that is around you. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to how it is that you walk, things that you can do and things that you cannot do because you're in a fight. And if you don't know that, and you don't pay attention to it, man, you're getting hit. You're getting hit. But what are we fighting for? Let's just come down to the basic level of it. What are we fighting for? Are we fighting to please God or are we fighting to please ourselves? And this applies in all areas of our life. In our work life, family, relationships, what are we fighting for? In our work, in our family, are we fighting to please ourselves to make things look the way that we think they should look and things so they'll make us happy and make us comfortable? Or are we fighting for what it is that God would want to do in those relationships? God would want to do in those situations, in those places, in those times, in those relationships? What is it that we're fighting for? See, we have to be intentional and decide that there's things we're going to do and things that we're not going to do. Now, I'm not saying this as a list of rules. Last week, Pastor Chris talked about how we get into this covenant in a marriage and in the relationship with the Lord. And through that, there are some boundaries and some things that you do. I think Pastor Chris said something along the lines of, you get married and you stop going on dates with other people. It's not just this crazy rule and all these restrictions and like your wife has their thumb on you now. It's like, no, you're married. You're committed to this relationship. That's something that you no longer do. There are some boundaries that go around this. And in having a covenant with the Lord and having this relationship with God through Jesus, there's some boundaries and some things that we don't do. And it's not about rules that we follow, but it's a relationship that we're working to grow. If we only look at it as, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, then we're missing something about the reality of the gospel and who he is to us. And where's our love? Is our love for our own ability to do what we want, or is our love for God and knowing the gift that he gave us through Jesus? Once we become a follower of Christ, it's no longer about our will, but it's how we're working out to live the plan out that he has for our lives. But it can be difficult. If you're like me, you can feel like it's difficult to live out the plan that God has for our life. Because you know what? It'd be interesting and it'd be helpful as if in the Bible it said exactly for you what you were supposed to do every day, every minute, all the time. It would, wouldn't it? But it doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say on a certain page, it's like, Perry, on October 8th, on Sunday afternoon, when you go out to lunch, you need to talk to the waitress, talk to the waiter, and tell them something about God. You need to have a spiritual conversation. It doesn't say that somewhere in there. The Bible tells us to go and make disciples, but it doesn't specifically say for you in this time, in this moment, this is what you're supposed to do. That's why we know the word, we pray, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us. We act on these principles, and we can sometimes wonder, like, well, God, what's your will for me? What is this? We know the word, we pray, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us. It's not always so specifically, and I don't know that we would follow it, and we become obsessed with following these rules and these things. We have to do this at a certain time. Instead of focusing on our love for God, and from that, we know Him, we know His Word, we pray, and we follow the Holy Spirit. But knowing the will of God sometimes can be confusing because we wonder, am I getting it right? Am I getting it right? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? Let's move on to verse 16. Verse 16, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Making the best use of our time. Where's your time going? Where's my time going? Where do we spend our time? We've got 24 hours in the day. Like after you sleep, you got like 16 or so. If you get 8 hours, if you're a rare person that actually gets 8 hours nowadays, right? Where's that time going? Where are we investing it? What are we doing? Because what we invest in grows. So in that time that we have, are we investing in something that matters? The days are evil, and it matters what we do with our time. That's the connection there. Making the best use of our time because the days are evil. It's not saying you take all the time in the world because there's plenty of time because everything's going great. That's not what I feel. That's not what I'm experiencing. Man, just a week ago, we had the largest mass shooting in modern American history. Tragedies that are happening. You have like tragedies of weather and hurricanes and people who are still recovering from that. And these things that just line up. And it feels like, God, these problems are so big. But we have an opportunity with the time that we are given. We do. We have an opportunity to make an impact for eternity. I believe that we're called to go in and do things in relief efforts and humanitarian efforts and be there for people. Absolutely. 100%. And at the same time, what kind of conversations are we having with our neighbors? What if somebody who lost their life this past week had a Christian neighbor who reached out to them and just asked them how they were doing and began a spiritual conversation? What if they were there in the right place at the right time? We see these far off things that seem like these tragedies and this crisis of what's going on and the bad things in the day. And it can feel overwhelming. It's like, this is horrible. But in our day-to-day life, our day-to-day life, in our work, our relationships, wherever we find ourselves, what are we doing to have conversations that make an impact for eternity? We don't know, we can't prevent, we can't predict the tragedy and the next thing that's going to happen. We can't. But what we can do is use the time that we've been given and use the resources and things that are around us to make the greatest impact for eternity. Because we can't fix all of it. Even as Christians, and we put all of our resources together and everything, we can't go back in time and act as if those tragedies didn't happen. We can't go back and take it all away. We can pray for people, we can join forces and have resources and do that. But what we can do is not regret a conversation that we were felt like we were being led to have. Something that we felt like we were supposed to do with somebody who's around us because the days are evil. And we have to be careful about how we use our time. You know, in all areas of our life, we're not going to grow without a fight. It's so true. You're not going to get better. You're not going to get stronger without a struggle. Spiritual growth is not an accident. It's by intent. Spiritual growth is not an accident. You don't just show up one day and all of a sudden it's like, I have the book of James memorized. And you know what? Every other time I have yelled and screamed at somebody in traffic, and then today everything is just better. I didn't have to work on it. I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to do anything. Man, everything's just completely better. My attitude's fixed. Tell me how that worked out. You have to work on it. Spiritual growth is not by accident. It happens by intent. Spiritual growth is intentional. You have to work on it. You have to do something. And unfortunately, it doesn't just happen by proximity. It doesn't just happen because you have a Bible on your nightstand. Just because it's there in the house, it might make you feel a little bit better, but unless you open it up and you read it and you really think about it and you try to memorize it and you study it, the growth that you're hoping for, I'm sorry to tell you, probably is not going to happen. Unless you get in and you deal with it and you dig in and you pray about your bad attitude and you have those difficult conversations with people, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to get stronger. It takes work. If you ask somebody who's made a huge leap spiritually and you've really seen that they've grown, they probably didn't do it just by proximity. They got in. They worked on it. They worked through some things. It takes active study. It takes discipline. It takes discipleship. It takes learning scripture, memorizing scripture. That's what it takes. And I know that doesn't sound super glamorous, but reading your Bible and praying, that's how you grow spiritually. It's a great thing. We come together and we celebrate and we talk about the Bible and we get in here and we teach and we worship and we get into this. And it's fantastic. And we absolutely have to do this in this time. I am not discounting that. But I am saying that major leaps and growth in your spiritual life do not happen without active work in reading the Bible and praying. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. We have to train. We have to get stronger. You know what? I bet you a lot of people want to hit this right now. I don't know. I've noticed that. If you have a punching bag around, people just want to hit it, right? There was worship team people who were coming through here, and they just wanted to hit it naturally. So the thing is, growth doesn't happen magically. I can go into the gym, and I can just be around a set of weights and look at them and think, well, why am I not getting stronger? I didn't pick one up. You're not going to get stronger unless you pick one up. I can go into the gym and say, you know what, man, I want to be a bigger, better boxer. But if you never actually hit it, if you never actually do any work, are you going to get any better? It's not magic. And I think that we can mystify sometimes what spiritual growth is, because the greatest miracle in the entire world is salvation. The greatest miracle is salvation. The fact that all of our muck and all of our mess and all of this can be transferred and like he gives us these riches and completely changes our life, changes our mind. We go from going to hell to going to heaven, greatest miracle you can possibly imagine. Since that's such this great miracle that we can't possibly imagine, sometimes the work of getting stronger spiritually, we think that's also something that's just too far off that we can't understand. But the Bible tells us there's practical steps to getting stronger. But if I just come here and I say, you know what, man, I think that if I come here and I stand next to this bag long enough, I'm going to become a better boxer. No, look at me. I'm standing next to it. Take my picture. I look really good. Like I could probably do this. And I just show up day after day and I just stand here. And I just stand here. But you don't put in the work. You're not going to get stronger. You're not going to know what you're made of. You're not going to know what it is you need to work on. You're not going to know your weaknesses. You're not going to know where you're slow. You're not going to know where you're fast. You're not going to know that, you know what, I got to work on this unless you put in the work. Unless you hit the bag, unless you read the Bible, unless you do it, you're not going to find out where you are. See, no work means you have no strength. It matters whether or not we get stronger spiritually. I want to read for you 1 Corinthians 9. This is Paul talking about training and one of his sport themes that he has going on here. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 26. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do not receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. And now what's that talking about here? And the games that he's talking about when he's talking to this church there, they'd have a crown that would be made of like branches and leaves and those type of things. That's what he's talking about. And then that withers away. But the crown that we're going for is eternal. Okay, it's imperishable. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 26. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. He's saying, I'm not working on this stuff, and I'm not just running around in circles, and I'm not just flapping my arms and doing whatever, saying that I'm getting better. He's actually putting in the work. He's running a race to get better, to get stronger, to get faster. He's not just shadow boxing, imagining he's doing something. He's hitting something. He's working. He's getting stronger. He's putting in the work. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. It matters. Paul's saying there's a purpose to why I'm getting stronger. It matters whether or not I'm stronger, because I have ministry ahead of me and I don't want to mess up. Luke 9:23, and he said to all, this is Jesus talking, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Part of this process of getting stronger is denying ourselves, not doing those things that we wanted to do or those things that we previously did. In the first part of chapter 5 of Ephesians, we were laying out some of those things that were in darkness, some of those former behaviors. Same type of thing we're talking about here, to deny ourselves. And not just one day. You don't just show up in the gym and say, you know what? I think I got it figured out. I'm stronger now. I went in one day, I did this, I hit it, I got it figured out. Everything's good, right? One marathon sprint of reading the Bible and praying does not fix the rest of your life spiritually. It's a great component of it, but just doing something one time does not fix it. Daily. Now, I know this isn't the most exciting and encouraging thing that I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you to do a whole bunch of work, and it takes a whole bunch of work to grow spiritually. Right? It doesn't always feel fun, does it? You can go up here and kid around and hit the bag and feel like you're a ninja for a little bit, but if I'm going to tell you that 5 days a week you're going to come in there and you're going to spend an hour and a half working on the bag and doing push-ups and running and jump rope and doing all kinds of drills to get stronger, ooh, that doesn't sound as fun. It's cute to come up here and hit it once, but to put in the work, that's something different. That's something different. Daily. And this is living out the gospel. I think Pastor Prince one time, in the way he was explaining it, he did a good job saying that we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then we have the rest of the New Testament that's living out and showing us how to live out the gospel. And that's what's going on here. When Paul's writing to these people, this Ephesian church, he's talking to them about living out the gospel. We have the gospel. We're talking about denying ourselves. We see that from Jesus in Luke chapter 9. He's saying, deny yourself. Now, Paul's playing out for them, what does it mean to deny yourself, to no longer be in darkness, but to be in the light? Let's go on to verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We can love God and love the idea of God, but to love his word and to obey his word is something different. Have you ever loved the idea of something, and then when you got a little bit deeper into it, maybe you didn't love it anymore quite as much? Like, really like the idea of a person, and then all of a sudden you realize all these other things that went along with loving that person, and it got a little bit difficult? Sometimes they're bad things with people, but with God, there's other things that he's showing us how to love him more. We love God. We love the idea of God. And then when we get into his word and say, well, wait a second, I thought that I was going to be able to bring all of the things that I liked about my life into this relationship with Jesus. And all those things that I liked, I wasn't going to have to give away. Well, it's not what it is. Now, we do that out of love. And like I said, we don't do that the same way that you say, well, you can't go on dates anymore because you're married. Well, I'm married. Of course, I'm not going to go on dates anymore. It's the same kind of thing. So, we don't just love the idea of it, but we seek to understand, because understanding more about God brings intimacy with God. Understanding more, wanting to know more about him. On to verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, alcohol is an example of what's going on here, and it's a numbing agent, right? Alcohol here is being used as a distraction. And I have a question for you. When it gets time to do some work, what's coming into your head? If you're too distracted to focus and get the work done, if you're thinking, okay, you know what? I need to work. I need to do something. Well, wait a second, I cheated on my taxes. I can't, okay. All right, you know what? I really want to do some work and I want to get stronger spiritually, but you know what? Oh, I said that thing. Oh. You know what? I really want to get stronger. I really want to do something, but you know, I just have this numbing thing that I do that I just drink too much. What is that numbing thing that's distracting you and convincing you that you're not in a fight? Sometimes we'll have this numbing agent that will come in. Maybe it's something with a relationship. Maybe it's actually a chemical or a substance or whatever it is. Something that comes in and distracts us and convinces us that we are not in a fight. but you're in a fight. But be filled with the Spirit. I want to finish up with verses 19 through 21 with you. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, there's 58 times in the New Testament where it says one another. 58 times where it talks about one another, how we treat one another. Yes, we got to make sure that we have this relationship right, the vertical, but what about the horizontal? Do we fight against or do we fight for one another? Do we fight against one another or do we fight for one another? Who are you fighting for? Not who are you fighting with, who are you fighting for? Are you fighting for your family? Are you fighting for your marriage? What are you fighting for? Are you fighting to get stronger spiritually? Relationships are hard. They're hard work. And we have choices all the time. When you have conflict in a marriage, when you have conflict at work, you can say, am I going to fight against this person? Am I going to fight against this situation? Or am I going to fight for it? That's the thing. Because when something angers you about something that's going on in the world, in a relationship, whatever it is, are you going to fight against it or are you going to fight for it? It's a different motivation. It's a different way of thinking about things. Because you're going to be fighting regardless, but how are you going to fight? See, listen, I know that life is hard and it can feel like sometimes we just don't want to go on anymore. We feel tired and you're like, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of feeling like I'm going to push forward and I just don't know if I can do it anymore. I'm going to tell you not to quit, to keep fighting, because it's worth it. It's worth it. The more that we get into this, the more that we study, the more opportunities that we have to make an impact because the days are evil. The more that we push through, the more that we fight, the greater opportunity we have to make an impact in maybe somebody else's relationships, somebody else's marriage. Maybe somebody's just gone through a crazy crisis and they don't know how in the world are they going to cope and make it. Are you ready? Are you ready to fight for something that's worthwhile or fight for ourselves? Are we fighting for ourselves or are we fighting to please God? The band's going to come back out. And today, if you haven't began this relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've gone through and you've kind of gotten to know it, but maybe you haven't asked for the phone number or asked to get a little bit closer. You're going to have an opportunity to do that. Some of our pastors and elders and community group leaders are going to be down front while the worship band is playing this. And there's something that I want to tell you. As they sing this song, if you feel as if God has let you down, you're not done. If you feel like God has let you down, if you feel like, you know what, God, I feel like you don't care about me anymore, I want to tell you that your fight is not over. It's not over. Will you stand with me all in here if you're able? Sometimes you feel like, I don't know if I have anything left. I don't know if I have anything left. Your fight's not over. Your fight's not over. Because the thing is, he's never going to let us down.